It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I don't know, baby. It's a Joe baby right here on the morning roast with not Bonta Hill, but Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. He's back, baby. And we got a hell of a show to get to today. We got 49ers Lions tonight, Levi Stadium. We got some Dub Nation action over the weekend. Bad loss to the Clippers. Great bounce back for Warriors. And one Jonathan Kuminga. You're not gonna want to miss this take that Joe Shasky brought up to me before the show even started about Jonathan Kuminga and Stephen Curry. It's going to blow your mind. We'll get into that. Giants, they get Corbin burned, if you will, over the weekend. But we'll start here, Joe Shasky. Good morning to you. I hope you all had a happy holiday season. And we got New Year's coming up tomorrow, New Year's Eve. But before that, we were talking about In-N-Out Burger. Before the show started, you said, you know, Spadoni, you got to come in with your take. And my take was, you got to get chopped chilies on your double-double. I didn't think it was that much of a hot take, no pun intended.
I never even knew that that was available.
Have you ever been to the condiment area where they have the chilies just there, the peppers?
I just do the pump. The
you just don't
pump.
Even look.
I don't
just,
even know.
It's out of sight, out of mind for you. Yeah, there's chilies. There's just these little chili peppers that you can get. You can add them to your burger, just chop chilies, add them on there.
I mean, you can't just drop an In-N-Out comment like that, like there's a secret menu, and then start the show. I was like, what is going on here? So I'm looking it up right now.
You're a California native, Joe Shasky, and it doesn't matter if you're from L.A., Monterey or San Francisco, you should know about your In-N-Out secret menu, like through birth, right?
I mean, I just usually just get
it.
The
moment you're conceived in California, you know the secret menu of In-N-Out Burger.
No, the only secret menu I was ever aware of, and believe me, we will get into sports because there's a secret menu for the 49ers tonight.
Whoa!
I only knew about Jamba Juice's secret menu, and that was one of my smoking days, know? And you get, like, the Starburst.
Yeah, the gummy
Jamba
bear
juice.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't even know about this chopped chili thing. Normally, I'm in the drive-thru line, so I don't like going in anymore. You know, I'm just too lazy. And, you know, I just want to get it and go.
You got wiser. Is what
well,
you
I want to be able to smash multiple burgers and not feel the, you know, insecurity of it.
Well, and you have a kid now, too, so it's just like, I'm not taking my kids out, doing
sure,
that whole thing.
Sure, that's the excuse.
Yeah, it's for me. I got two kids and a bunch of problems.
So I'm going to try the chopped chilies tonight.
There you go. You go double-double, okay. Or if you're feeling really hungry, you go 3x3 animal style. Add the raw onions with the additional caramelized onions.
Okay.
If you will, get a little more crunch in there still.
Yeah.
And then you get the chopped chilies in there. That's the way to go. And by the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. It's also sponsored by Joe Shasky, First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky for the next 4 hours right here on 95.7 The Game. We got a lot to get into. As Joe Shasky mentioned, we got Lions, we got Niners tonight. Lomas Brown, former offensive tackle, played for the Lions for over 11 seasons and is their current radio color analyst for 97.1 The Ticket, our sister station out in Detroit. It is an Odyssey station. He's joining us at 9:20 for a breakdown and a preview of this matchup. And we brought up In-N-Out Burger because I was sitting next to some people yesterday, Joe Shasky, when I was eating at In-N-Out Burger in San Carlos. And I just overheard the conversation. I wasn't eavesdropping or anything. Thank you. And they're just talking about, oh, yeah, this we're going to Levi's Stadium tomorrow. I can't wait. Like, I was like, huh, they're going to an event, a Levi's. Okay, yeah, it's the game tomorrow. So they're going to the Lions game, and they had like a Midwest accent, kind of. So I was like, okay, they're probably Detroit Lions fans. And they're like, wow, yeah, this is a new stadium. We've never been here. Oh, Candlestick. It was so hard getting out of there. The ingress, egress. Oh, the people, clearly Lions fans that have been to Candlestick before. And they were just so excited about going to Levi's Stadium.
Really?
They were so excited that it was like, this is a brand new stadium, basically. It opened back a decade ago. It was like, and I was just like, should I tell him?
Should I tell him what?
It doesn't feel like a brand new stadium.
Well, it's 10 years old. This is the 10th year.
Right? Like, 10 years is a long time.
I wanted to
tell them in regards to all the new stadiums that we've seen, whether it comes to SoFi Stadium, Allegiant, Mercedes-Benz. I'm not saying that Levi's is bad. I think it's actually grown a lot more on me as the years have gone. It actually has, like, somewhat of a soul now, given all the playoff history that's taken place. They're undefeated there in the playoffs. Never lost there.
Hey.
There is something to be said about that. But tonight, Joe Shasky, this is where the Lions season ended at the earlier part of this calendar year. It's where and they feel like they choked it away. And for the most part, they did. Like, the Lions had no business losing that game with the lead they had. Dan Campbell does Dan Campbell things. I think people are going to overanalyze it and say, you know what, Dan Campbell was overthinking it. No, they had the right play calls dropped. It was dropped. But momentum's a funny thing in sports, and that cost them, and they lost the game. I think they're going to go out for blood tonight, though. What they saw yesterday in regards to their own divisional rivals, the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings, and Sam Darnold just... I mean, you said it before the show. Is he having a Rich Gannon-like resurgence?
It's incredible.
He wasn't as old as Rich was when he had his resurgence at an MVP year, but he just looks like, is this going to be the Sam Darnold we're going to see going forward? Just, he looks incredible. But if you're a Lions fan watching that yesterday, and you're Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and go, oh, okay, yeah, next week we got Sunday Night Football, we're going to play for the number one overall seed. Okay, yeah, we're going to show everyone today why we're the best team, not just in the NFC, but in the National Football League.
I think that Super Bowl loss, the way it happened, we have just completely forgotten about that NFC Championship game. It feels like a lifetime ago. The difference in that game, if we go back to it, everyone's going to bring up the IU catch, which was amazing. The difference in that game for me was the inability of Jared Goff to be able to move in the pocket and make a play once he had to like kind of reset his feet, and the ability of Brock Purdy to scramble. And if I look at this year and one of the big, kind of like, wow, what's going on with Purdy? He scrambled this year, and he's ran for some yards, but he hasn't been able to make those throws down the field like he has in the last couple of years. And I look back at that game, and it's like Debo was on fire. Ayuk's making plays. Christian McCaffrey had a big run in that one. Nick Bosa was an absolute menace. I don't even think he registered a sack in that game, but he was an unbelievable menace. Trent Williams was playing pretty admirably against Aiden Hutchinson. And the fourth down defense for the Niners was suffocating, even though Reynolds dropped two balls. Special teams was actually good in that game. And they wiped away that deficit in seconds. That third quarter is one of the great third quarters in Niner history. And it just feels like it's lost in time because of the way you lost in overtime to the Chiefs.
It's one of those things, right? And I'm not comparing it to the Warriors in 2016, obviously, but you forget about all those playoff series. Like, there is something about that Oklahoma City series. Like, we remember it, and it's great and stuff like that. But also, like, oh, well, doesn't really matter, right? Because he ended up just losing the whole damn thing. So there's nice moments involved in there, but especially with a franchise like the San Francisco 49ers, how'd that happen to, let's say, the Detroit Lions, who don't have any history of the Super Bowl. They've never been to a Super Bowl. Like, that's one thing. Like, that's them getting to an NFC championship last year. That was their high watermark. Like, them having that lead, no one's going to forget that. If they never win a Super Bowl, like, in our lifetime or in the next 30, 40 years, that's what they're always going to remember. Getting that so close. They had that lead, and it's just they choked it away. That's what they remember. So that's why I think they're going to come out with their hair on fire tonight.
The Detroit Lions hadn't won a playoff game on the road. Since 1957, when they beat the Niners at Kezar.
It's unbelievable.
It's one unbelievable. Of the craziest, with Dick Night Train Lane. Yes, that's a name. That's a real name. Go look him up. Like, yeah, it's
the level of ineptitude when it comes to teams in the NFL. It's the NFC, it's the Lions, and the AFC is the Browns. Like, those are the two teams where it's just like nothing can go right for them.
Absolutely nothing. And that's why, you know, what they did this year was remarkable, to come back and basically clinch the number one seed with 2 weeks to go. I mean, it's pretty, and I know they have to win next week, but it's pretty incredible the season that they've had. Going back to the Niner thing from the NFC Championship game, because I think the Niners have a lot to play for. We'll get to that at some point. But when I think about some of the great plays in 49er playoff history that get lost, the Christian McCaffrey run in Philadelphia, we don't even think about. We literally don't even think about it.
You were there.
Because of the Brock injury. You know, and that's just a play in the middle of the game. But he broke like 1,000 tackles and was just absolutely spectacular. You know, I think about a lot that the Kaepernick comeback in Green Bay when it was the frozen tundra and the ground is literally brown and Frank Gore sets that block and they set it up to get a field goal with no time on the clock and Harbaugh's wearing seven different pairs of khakis. I think about that amazing game against the New Orleans Saints. It was our first playoff game in close to a decade. The entire place is standing. You have the Pierre Thomas hit by Dante Whitner. Like, that was with the Vernon Davis post. All great moments.
I've never cheered harder starter for the 49ers on that day against the Saints because I could not stand Drew Brees and Sean Payton as a combination.
I hated them.
Yeah, me too.
They should have won that game. If Jimmy Graham goes down at the three-yard line, they win that game. They just hang on to it, ice the game, kick it out. It was spectacular. And for Alex to do that, given who Alex was at his point in his career, for the Niners to do that with that drought that they had for so long in the playoffs, it was the first home game since 02 or whatever it was in the playoffs, 03 against the New York Giants. Like, there was a lot of things converging there. But all of those ones, like, there was a reason why we've stuck and we've remembered those. Like, I brought up that Alex moment to Vernon Davis. That's Vernon's high watermark for his career. That's Alex's high watermark as a 49er. That final 5 minutes. And it sticks and lives in infamy. Why does the Steve Young play with Terrell Owens stick in infamy for so long? Because it took us forever to get through the Packers. And it ended up being Mike Holmgren's final game. And he was a local guy. And we finally beat him with the Packers. And Steve finally got the best of them. And T.O. had dropped 1,000 balls, and it felt like there was the arrival of T.O., you know, at that particular moment. Him crying and Mariucci embracing him, and so many guys for the Packers having that be their final Packer moment. I think that this Detroit Lion win for the Niners in the NFC Championship game was a special win. I just don't know how we're going to view it in 10 or 15 years because I can't get over not knowing the overtime rules and losing to Mahomes.
Right.
We had that game, and now I look back at this year. And this weekend of football that was going on, it was a great weekend of football, Joe.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't really enjoy it because, like, my Niners aren't involved at all in the playoffs. And it makes me so tremendously sad.
Do you know what makes me tremendously sad? As you were saying, overtime rules of Kyle Shanahan. Some of these coaches, and that was my main takeaway over the weekend, Raheem Morris, not knowing you have two timeouts. Zach Taylor, what are you doing? Just ice the game. Take a knee. Rush it for a yard. I know your running back, Chase Brown, went down. He looked like he blew out his knee. I don't know what his status is right now. But it's just Joe Burrow had to win a game three different times.
Joe Burrow's
amazing. He had to win a game three different times and won against the Broncos to keep their season alive. By the way, Bo Nix, he's been impressing me. He's been making me eat my words over in the season where I said you can't trust a quarterback that's been in college that long and is not a doctor and Bo Nix. But so... shout out to him and the Broncos. They're going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to be a playoff team. Now, there's still a lot to be played for of this weekend. I think they're going to do it. Chargers, they're in. It's going to be interesting to see the seeding wise, whether it's going to be the Bills playing them, the Ravens, what have you. But it does suck that we're at this stage, and it's so much fun to watch all these different machinations happening. And the Niners just aren't. What do they have to play for? And you're going to tell me something they have to play for because I'm struggling to see a silver lining here, Joe Shasky. Shout out Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, silver linings playbook.
So let me give you the silver line. And like, I think everybody's been viewing this a little distorted. Like, I think we're obsessed with our players, and I get it. Like, they've retained all your favorite players, and I understand that, and you like those guys, but you also have to get younger. I'm looking at some teams around the league, and look, these are one-year wonders, so we'll see if they're sustainable. Washington had the number 2 overall pick last year.
Certainly
now
did.
They nailed the quarterback at field. It feels like. We'll see if he can back the year up that he had this year, right? Like, C.J. Stroud is learning and Brock Purdy is learning. It's really difficult to be great year in, year out, right? But when I look at Washington, they traded away all those defensive players that we knew. Montez Sweat, Chase Young. Mm-hmm. I can't really name a defender on their team casually. And their defense is pretty solid. They've got Terry McLaurin on offense and one of the Robinsons, one of the 1,000 Robinson running backs.
They still got my boy Daron Payne. Shout out Alabama.
Okay.
It's a sick name.
Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, whatever the guy's name, the defensive lineman from Alabama. But the point stands that I think most casual football fans couldn't name too many Washington defenders. They moved off all those guys, and they feel like this is the weakest version, at least in their heads, because of the money and how they're going to move going forward, and now they're a desirable location. They've got a lot of picks. They feel like this is the weakest version of our team right now, and we're going to be better moving forward. I look at a team like the Broncos, who you referenced, and they're going to probably make the playoffs. They ate a ton of dead cap money with Russell Wilson. And they've kind of bounced back and they figured it out and they're actually having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the Niners situation, we can move a guy or two that you all like. I don't know who it is. Maybe they keep Debo. Maybe they move Debo. Maybe they keep Trent. Maybe they move Trent. But it's not like everything's barren moving forward and they can't overcome this. They have to draft well. They have to be smart with their money. They have to get guys back who have been injured, CMC and Brandon Ayuk. But you can turn things around in the NFL. 7 weeks ago, I thought Bryce Young was not an NFL player. Now I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's middle of the pack.
Yeah.
things change quickly. Now, the quarterback's got to play better.
Yeah.
The head coach has got to kind of shake some things up. They've got to nail this draft. They need young players to continue to develop. But as I look around the NFL right now, and I know it feels really bleak, and I'm sad that the Niners have basically been mathematically eliminated for a month left to go in the season, they can get right back where they need to be in one offseason. I'm looking at the Eagles, and they look like a completely different organization with a lot of the same guys from last year. A couple of tweaks.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. That's Joe Shasky. I'm Joe Spadoni filling in for Bonte Hill. It's the Morning Roast. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Comcast Business text line. And good morning to all you just getting off work and ready for work, getting ready to do whatever you got to do. New Year's plans. If you're traveling, please travel safe. It looks like the wet weather is going to stay away here for a little bit, so we don't have to worry tonight about Jared Goff v. Brock Purdy in the elements, because I don't think any of us really wanted to see that tonight, Joe Shasky. I got to laugh about it, because
it trickles a little, and all of a sudden ball security is an issue.
Oh, no.
It's just, I mean, come on, man.
You just have to laugh about it at this point, and it's something to monitor, I guess. No Charvarius Ward. He's not going to be playing due to personal reasons in this game. So no Charvarius Ward, obviously no Trent Williams. So we'll monitor all the injuries and what have you, and relay any information if any players are going to be out. 888-957-9570. But the biggest takeaway over the weekend, and we'll get more into the Niners. We're not done with the Niners here, but I want to maybe just lay the foundation for a conversation we're going to have. Really deep dive in the 7 o'clock hour, because Jonathan Kuminga is having maybe his best, and it's a mini stretch here, but his most impressive, to me at least, Joe Shasky, two-game stretch, even in a loss against the Clippers. I am seeing a decisive, I am seeing a energetic, enthusiastic, a willing Jonathan Kuminga these last two games that gives me a lot of hope for, if he stays on this team, that is, a lot of hope for the future of the Golden State Warriors. What were some of your quick thoughts on the Clippers game and that loss, and obviously the comeback win against the Phoenix Suns before we hit this break?
Well, Friday night, I just, no Steph, no Dre. I'm not surprised there. It's just, Steph doesn't look right. Everybody's afraid to say it. He's still one of the greatest players of all time, but he hasn't looked dynamic. And if you watch the game on Saturday, he made a ton of mistakes. We've sat for the last 5 years and just ripped to shreds every role player and every other star not named Steph Curry. And I'm not here to like rip Steph Curry. He's one of my and everyone's favorite players of all time.
Most beloved Bay Area athlete of all time.
He's the greatest Warrior ever.
Yeah.
But we can admit it, he's played lousy this year. And to me, it's not about just like making and missing shots. To me, it's horrific shot selection in specific moments, and just absolutely atrocious passes across court. If I watch another Steph Curry cross-court pass, my head's going to explode. And that brings me to Jonathan Kuminga. We have been crushing the kid. Let's give him his flowers. I want to celebrate Jonathan Kuminga today. And I'm telling you right now, in about 40 minutes, I'm going to give you an opinion on Jonathan Kuminga.
40-minute tease.
I'm serious.
Okay, I know you are.
Because I think I've been afraid to say it out loud. And I think Warrior fans who are actually watching games, if you are watching games, I think you're going to hop in this boat and
I'm
you're going to take this journey with me. All right? I am ready to say what no one is ready to say. And I think we've been viewing the Warriors situation completely different. You got to build around Steph. Everything. You got to do everything you can to squeeze the last ounce out of Steph. There is no version with no trade, Giannis notwithstanding, that makes this team a contender this year.
Mm.
Be realistic, Warrior fans. That trade doesn't exist. You're chasing fool's gold. I got a Kuminga thought. I can't wait to tell everyone.
You're chasing pyrite, a.k.a. fool's gold right there. That's Joe Shasky. I'm Joe Spadoni. 888-957-9570. By the way, those Golden State Warriors, as Joe Shasky's talking about, they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight at Chase Center. Coverage of that starts right here on 95.7 The Game, your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. 6 o'clock with Warriors Live. Tip off at 7 with the voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy, who, by the way, television Timmy on Friday. That was interesting. I enjoyed that. Obviously, Bobby Fitz came back the next day. We love Bobby Fitz. I mean, come on, how can you not love?
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
He's part of our family, the great Tim Roy. So it was great to hear him on the television side with Kalena Azubuike. But nice to get him back on our airwaves tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers, by the way. Kenny Atkinson, obviously former assistant coach of the Warriors, now their head coach in Cleveland, 27-4. The quietest 27-4 that you've heard in a long time, because I get it. It's Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell's awesome. He's great. But it's the Cavs. Do we really buy it? Well, we'll see, because last time they played the Warriors, I think they were up by like 50 after one quarter, it felt like, because that was a beatdown. 888-957-9570 is the number. More of this conversation we'll pick up on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Safeway.
Dub Nation, it's Ron Adams. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7, The Game.
Oh, good, Ron Adams. It's actually Spadoni and Shasky today. Joe Spadoni filling in for Bonte Hill. This is The Morning Roast, though, and we love to hear Ron Adams. I love when we play like hip-hop or some like gangster rap with Ron Adams behind it. It just goes even harder on the rejoin, as far as I'm concerned. And good morning to all you just getting off work, getting ready for work. Enjoying your holiday weekend. You're taking a couple weeks off. If you're back to work, if you're hitting the grind, whatever you're doing. If you're driving around listening to us on the free Odyssey app, we appreciate you. Download that bad boy. It is awesome. You can take us wherever you need to go. You can also find your favorite podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys with our very own Sam Lemon and Joe Shasky. New pod coming out in regards to Corbin Burns. We'll get to that a little bit later on the show. Awesome. Can't wait for that. And by the way, if you download the Odyssey app, you can take us wherever you need to go to watch and listen to all your Warriors games. Tune in for Warriors Live today, by the way, at 6 o'clock, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We've got Warriors Future Focus coming up in a second. Real quick, though, because Adrian Hayward's been hanging on for a second. We're talking about 49ers, and if they'll be right back into it next year, obviously. Not playing for a playoff spot this year, but they are playing potentially the number one overall seed in the NFC, the Detroit Lions, who met you last year. Well, technically this calendar year, but last season in the NFC Championship game tonight at Levi's Stadium. What's going on, Adrian? You're out in Hayward. You're on with Spadoni and Chesky. What you got, man?
Good morning, fellas. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. I got a little question for you guys. Did you guys watch that Bengals-Broncos on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
If yes, in that fourth quarter in overtime, I was blown away by the quarterback play. Both these guys under pressure making all the throws. And the whole time I'm thinking, man, why can't I have a guy like Bo Nix or Joe Burrow who threads the needle, fourth down, pressures in his face, scores a touchdown or throws a 65-yard bomb. I've never, ever seen that in 40 as a 49er fan. I'm 32 years old.
Adrian, real quick, and I'll let you finish. I don't want to cut you off. Are you telling me you'd rather have Bo Nix right now than Brock Purdy?
Oh, definitely.
Oh.
Definitely. Did you not watch that game on Saturday?
It was a dynamic
game. Did you not watch the playoff run last year with Brock Purdy? I mean, we're talking about, you know, the NFC Championship game and him coming back and all that. Like, I just think, and thank you for the call, Adrian. I appreciate you.
I'm not ready to say goodbye to Brock Purdy. Simultaneously, though, there is a big, not Bo Nix, but there's a Grand Canyon gap between Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy. Okay, that's a fair one. And look, I'm just telling you me. I have sticker shock. I know it was like, don't market. Just because your brother buys a $3 million house doesn't mean you can afford a $3 million house. And you should buy a $3 million house. You know, what's your income? Where do you live? You know, I mean, do you need 6,000 square feet? What if you live alone? You know, like, I have a lot more questions. And so, like, just because somebody else in Jacksonville made a ton of money doesn't make that a good deal. And that doesn't mean that that's how I have to operate. And so I treat the quarterback salaries and everything the same way I do all the other positions. We jumped the gun on the Christian McCaffrey deal. And you know what? Christian is kind of skated this year in terms of criticism. You know, we got bent over on the Bosa and Ayuk deals and Trent Williams deals, and they bit us in the back. Does Purdy deserve a pay raise? Absolutely. Absolutely. But am I in some crazy rush to give him $60 million a year? No, I'm not. I'm really not.
Brock Purdy, by the way, and Bo Nix are the same age. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, look, it's Bo Nix's first year. It's the same thing I said about CJ Stroud and Brock Purdy last year. Do it again. Like, that's the NFL. You know why I know that Burrow's good? Because he's done it a few times. You know why I know Lamar Jackson's good? He's done it a few times. Yeah. Josh Allen, etc. You know, like, all these guys that are one-hit wonders. You know, Jaden Daniels is a great example. He's having an amazing season. What an amazing year this guy's had. He has breathed life into an organization that, in your lifetime, you don't even remember them being good.
No.
Powerhouse.
I remember them being decent with London Fletcher and Santana Moss.
That was a shell of what they were
exactly.
With Art Monk
correct.
And Gary Clark and Charles Mann. These are names I don't know if you know.
No, I know because the Raiders beat them in a Super Bowl, by the way. Cliff Branch cooking Art Monk at like 35, 36 years old.
Mark Rippon and Doug Williams. No. So I had this was an organization that was dead for years. Well, and Jaden Daniels breathed life into it. Simultaneously, I'm like, all right, Jaden, you got to do it 2 years in a row.
Just like CJ Stroud we were talking about last year with the Houston Texans, who were one of the worst, were the worst team in the NFL. 1 year turnaround, D'Amico Ryan's their head coach. Just like this 1 year turnaround, Dan Quinn. And shout out Adam Peters, obviously former executive with the San Francisco 49ers. And Bob Myers being a part of that collection too. Bobby Myers actually hitting on a number two overall pick, it would look like, with Jaden Daniels seemingly going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year, although I think Brock Bowers is probably the best rookie of the season, but he's not a quarterback. And as we know, if you have the best quarterback during a rookie season, he's going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, just like Kyler Murray over Josh Jacobs. I'm not bitter or anything. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got Warriors Future Focus here in a couple minutes, Joe Shasky. Any thoughts on the 49ers, though, real quick against the Detroit Lions?
Well, one thing that, with the Detroit Lions, we'll get to that. But, like, just big picture on the Niners. Like, if I just said to you, Joe, what is the almost exact correlation statistically for an offense to making this year's playoffs, what would that be? Would it be touchdowns? Would it be passing yards? Would it be rushing touchdowns? Would it be sacks? What do you think that number would be? Like, what that stat might be?
Sam was in my ear. Say that one more time.
All right, so I'll just say this. Teams that rush the ball well on offense are almost all making the playoffs. I'm going to go in order. The best rushing teams in the league.
Okay, yeah.
Eagles, Ravens, Commanders, Bucks, Packers. Now, the Cardinals are in there, all right? Lions, Colts are in there. Bills, Steelers. Go right down the list. Falcons, Niners, okay? That's your rounding out your top, whatever, 11, 12 teams. Almost all of them are playoff teams.
Yes.
All right, and so now the Falcons had an opportunity to get into the playoffs, and they kind of blew that. Obviously, the Colts got eliminated yesterday, but there is a direct correlation to where if you can run the ball, you can set up play action, you control the clock, you get field position. Like, there's so many things that are valuable. You let your defense get their breath on the sidelines, and I look at the teams that are kicking butt right now, and this is the thing the Niners hung their hat on last year. We run the ball well. And this year, they started off really well running the ball well, and they had a decent record, and it kind of went to crap. And so they need to get back to running the ball well. Is that just, hey, put CMC back there, draft some linemen, and you're good to go? I don't know. I would still draft more running backs. The two that you had this year, Jordan Mason and Garendo, they both went down. I need guys that can stay healthy because I can't bank on another 17-game season from CMC.
Mm-mm.
So the Niners have got to get back to running the ball well. When I look at the Detroit Lions and what makes them so special, it's that offensive line and that's that run game.
Yeah. No, and they lost. Well, we thought he was going to be out for the year, but David Montgomery, obviously. But they have Jahmyr Gibbs back. Like, the depth on offense is something to behold because defensively they just, I mean, we got the injury report coming up at 7:50. He can just say, yeah, the Detroit Lions are injured on defense. Like, yeah, right? It's just their entire defense feels like just absolutely shelled. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson being the biggest one that they lost. Thank you, John Sterling. But yeah, to your point, the rushing stats this year, and it's actually crazy to look at it too, and we'll get to Warriors Future Focus here in just a second, but just the teams that are fighting just to get into the playoff picture, like the Cincinnati Bengals, the fourth worst rushing team, just if you're going by rushing yards per attempt, or per game, I should say, 94 they're averaging on the ground. 94, it's the fourth worst in the NFL. You look at a team like, surprisingly, the Los Angeles Rams are not very good either. Although, you don't expect that because Kyren Williams has actually had a phenomenal season.
Yes. Well, they run a lot of, and this is what I would say, them and Seattle run a lot of short, controlled screen passes.
To supplement
passes,
it. Yeah.
Which act like run game plays.
A lot like what Tom Brady and the New England Patriots would do as well.
Broncos too do that.
Yep, absolutely. Let's get right into it, though, Sammy. We got the Warriors' future focus we got into. It's the future.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors Future Focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, yeah, and we'll get back into the 49ers. Obviously, they take on the Detroit Lions tonight, and we'll have all that for you. And Lomas Brown, 920, he's going to join us. Obviously, radio color analyst, I should say, for their 97.1 The Ticket out of Detroit. So get his thoughts on that. But right now, it is time for the Warriors Future Focus. And is Jonathan Kuminga the real future for the Golden State Warriors? Well, he will be if he keeps these dunks up like he had on Saturday.
Trip by Kuminga. Waters has it. Pass to Kuminga. Reaches back and gets it and glides home. Two-hand slam. Jonathan Kuminga. 195. Credit Waters with a nice lead pass.
And credit Tim Roy, who had that call right here on 95.7 The Game. And that was the Warriors Future Focus. Just like we love the future of the Dubs, Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. I think I still have, Joe Shasky, my Peralta. I think I have it right here. My Peralta student ID right here. There you go.
Oh, wow.
There you go. This is probably like a decade ago. Peralta Community College District.
Why do you still have that?
Well, maybe you get some student ID discounts with certain places.
Get in museums.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see Rodney Dangerfield back to school?
Yes.
Like,
the triple Indy?
Spadoni's going back to school.
I'm not that old. Please, know, Rodney is like 60 in that.
I mean, I keep my student ID to get in museums and discounts and stuff like that. I mean, why not?
I have that one, my SF State one still.
While I was writhing in pain with like a food poisoning, Michelle and the little guy went to the Academy of Sciences and they had a great time. Michelle paid for one of those, whatever they called, the yearly passes.
Yeah.
You know, and
season
and
memberships.
There was something, yeah, whatever it is.
Membership.
And he had such a great time.
They're awesome. And they still got the albino alligator there, too. That thing's sweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, never moves. It was just chilling there.
It's all about the frolicking penguins.
The frolicking penguins.
You know,
great.
I'm gonna call an audible.
Omaha.
I have something to say about
that. Can.
No, and I'll be at the forefront saying that my opinion has gone full gamut. I've done 180s, I've done 360s, I've done 540s, shout out Tony Hawk. I've done all of it
when it
comes to Jonathan Kuminga, and kind of we all have. And you know what? We owe this man an apology. And Warrior fans, you gotta open your eyes. If you are actually watching games, what I'm going to say is almost inarguable. And on the other side, I'm gonna explain it, and we're going to get right into Jonathan Kuminga. Because to me, the biggest revelation of the weekend for the Bay Area was Jonathan Kuminga has arrived. And we need to give this man the flowers that he deserves.
And that's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
This is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
Thank you, Jonathan. They call you Jonathan? Johnny? I don't think he likes him. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky here. We've had a great time already. It's only 45 minutes into the show, 47 minutes into the show. What a great time. Talking Dubs, talking Niners. We're going to see Giants later. But Joe Shasky before the break had just an amazing tease. And before we get to that, I just got to make it known that this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And by the way, Golden State Warriors are back in action tonight at Chase Center, taking on the best team in the East, at least record-wise, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 27-4. Coverage of that starts right here on 95.7 The Game at 6 o'clock with Warriors Live. Tip off at 7 with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, Joe Shasky. And by the way, 9:20 today, Lomas Brown, radio color analyst for the Detroit Lions, as the Niners are playing the Detroit Lions at home at Levi Stadium. So we got Niners, we got Warriors, we got a full spread tonight on a Monday. I can't wait.
I'm a 42-year-old man, all right?
Okay.
42-year-old man that has been a Warrior fan my entire life. I call the Depression-era Warriors, like, one of the, like, that really was the separator. Like, were you a diehard Warrior fan when the team was walking in the desert with no water and no vision and no mirage and no hope from 92 through whatever, 2007?
So we got Bible, we got Great Depression, we got everything right now. That's how bad it was for the Golden State Warriors at one point.
I mean, the high watermark for me was a season of Antoine Jameson, Gilbert Arenas, and Jason Richardson, sprinkled in with some Troy Murphy later on. You know, like, so, like, that was the We Believe was like the pinnacle of being a Warrior fan. Making the second round, knocking off Dirk. So I say this with great perspective, okay? When Steph Curry arrived, I never thought he would do what he did, right? I never thought the Warriors could get past the second round in the playoffs. Okay, me and my boy Mikey C would say every single year, if we just made the playoffs, if we just made the playoffs, in a sport where half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, the Warriors weren't just a bad team. They were one of the worst run organizations in the history of the planet. It's ironic that we're talking about the Detroit Lions today, because in many ways, the Warriors were very equivalent to what the Detroit Lions were for so many years. Now, they had Wilt. They had Rick Barry, my dad's favorite player, Rick Barry, right? And Chris Mullin was my favorite player growing up. For a time, it was Latrell Sprewell. And I felt like anytime they had something good, they ruined it. I loved Monte Ellis. I thought it was crazy that we were trading Monte Ellis for a guy with a microfracture injury in Andrew Bogut. Boy, was I wrong. All right? Opinions can change. I appreciate everything Steph Curry has done. I never thought they'd get one title, let alone four. During the middle and the height of the LeBron era.
Yeah.
Now, people can quibble and say, oh, it's the Steph era too. No, but you know what I mean. No. All right? It's been a LeBron era. And for the Warriors to not only win one, but four during smack dab the middle of this man's dominance, who's one of the greatest players in any sport ever, is not just remarkable, it's one of the craziest things this planet has ever seen.
It's hilarious that you're saying all this right now and they're on the television screen behind you, not to distract you or anything, but there was just Stephen Curry talking and winning his MVP.
It was funny.
It was ironic. Shout out Alanis Morissette. It was just as you were going through all that. But yeah, to your point, it's one of those things that when you look back on, it's the stories aren't going to do it justice.
No.
Just like you and Bonte always talk about the golden age of the San Francisco 49ers. I wasn't alive during that time.
Yeah.
So a lot of my friends that are Niner fans that are watching them now, it's like, that's great. That's awesome that they won in the 90s and that they have this history. And Joe Montana, you know, if he's not the best quarterback ever, he's the second best quarterback. That's awesome. But I never got to see that. So all I've known is heartbreak in my time. Just like our dads watched Rick Barry back in the day once. Like, oh, I've seen them win and stuff like that. So to me, but the appreciation factor, I think, and, you know, the finality of a run, and you're kind of seeing it now with Steph and the Warriors. Not to say that they're washed and they're horrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw that with the Dirk Nowitzki Mavericks, the Kobe Lakers, Tim Duncan at the end there. It ends at one point. And the Warriors aren't there yet, maybe as championship contender, but they're still a playoff contender. But they're in this kind of weird twilight zone that fans, I don't think they know how to wrap their minds around how to root for this team right now.
Because it's not a video game.
Yeah.
And that's been my biggest issue. And I'm glad that you brought up the 49ers, because I'm going to make two comparisons to the Niners and the Giants. The Niners, throughout their entire tenure, when they were great in the 80s, Bill Walsh's whole mantra was, I want the best of you, and I'm not giving you a contract 1 year too late. I would rather you play one good year with someone else and then start to decline, as opposed to me overpay and then you decline on my dollar.
I want you at your best, not at your worst.
They made contingency plans to bring in Steve Young for a reason. Well, A, they had, you know, doubts when it comes to Joe Montana. And look, Joe Montana's the greatest player in 49er history. Maybe it's Jerry Rice, but I'm going to say it's Joe Montana. Okay? I'm not bitter at all about the Steve Young championship. Steve Young's probably my favorite 49er of all time because of his story and his journey and what he meant to me. I loved the way the Niners operated because we're always turning the page to the next guy. Do we love Ronnie Lott? Hell yeah, we love Ronnie Lott. He played for the Jets. He played for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He went on. Do I love Roger Craig? Hell yeah. He played for the Vikings. He played for a bunch of different teams. Okay? Joe Montana went on and played for the Chiefs. The Niners tried to keep it going. All right? When I look at the Giants, my favorite player of all time was Barry Bonds. They won immediately after he left. not just a little. They won a lot. And I love Barry, and it breaks my heart he didn't win more. And I to this day, am frustrated to a degree that they never paired him up with anybody as close to as good as Jeff Kent post the Jeff Kent leaving the Giants era. And I get frustrated. But you know what both those organizations did? They continued to draft and try to find the next great players to put the team in position to win. All right? The Warriors, for the last however many years, have been trying to find suitable guys to take the mantle from Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond, and it's been difficult, and it's really hard, and there's no guarantee you ever find those guys. But I will always defend them not exhausting all their resources to bring in a bunch of journeymen. Like, every company in America is trying to build their thing for the now and the future. Every great dynasty, like the New England Patriots, were building for the now and the future. They didn't just stop drafting and developing players. Part of drafting and developing is those guys are on cheap contracts, and it's actually beneficial for your organization. And homegrown players are more beloved. Which brings me to Jonathan Kuminga. And I think we viewed this whole thing wrong for months, myself included. Shame on me. Jonathan Kuminga should be getting the torch from Steph Curry. We should not be trying to trade this guy away. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Shame on all of us. It's not his fault. He's the best draft pick since the Draymond, Klay, Steph Curry days. I love Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney's a role player. Kevon has been a great warrior. A great warrior. But in terms of passing the torch to someone, Jonathan Kuminga is the guy we've been waiting for. And yeah, it's a little bumpy, and it's going to be bumpy moving forward. But there is no trade scenario that I see that's realistic that makes the Warriors champions with Steph Curry as the lead dog right now. I love Steph, but like, watch the games, people. Have you been watching the games? He's not the same. Get on my back. I will carry you for 75 nights a year. He's just not that guy anymore. Now, Jonathan Kuminga, in the last month, has surged. Ever since everybody wanted to trade him for Cam Johnson and this guy and that guy, Jonathan Kuminga, we should be planting our flag on as the next guy that we're building around post-Steph Curry, not trading him away to run for the sixth seed to try to chase some fake title that's never going to happen. Jonathan Kuminga deserves his flowers, and we need to celebrate him. And I'm done trying to trade him away. If anything, this organization should be trying to empower him. Draymond, get out of the way. You're playing the five. You're playing 20 minutes a night. Steph Curry, you could still be the main thing that everything moves around, but we are going to run stuff specifically in certain situations for Jonathan Kuminga. Stop trying to marginalize him, and let's prop this guy up.
888-957-9570. You just heard it from Joe Shasky right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Tired of it.
Is it time to build? The time is now to build around Jonathan Kuminga is what you're saying, Joe Shasky.
No, what I'm saying
is build around him. No. You have Steph,
yes.
And you're not moving off Steph. Stephen Curry's a made man, but you're seeing the decline.
Yes.
You're seeing the writing on the wall. The future is youth with the Golden State. It always is, no matter what. You're not going to get better as you get old. Yes, LeBron James and Stephen Curry are amazing. They put on a show on Christmas. It's awesome. That's not happening every day.
No.
They're having LeBron just misses a game this weekend because he had a tummy ache. Like, Steph's going to miss games because he has knee tendonitis. Like, these guys are old. You can see the writing on the wall. Now, the Lakers, they have Anthony Davis. They have a guy that's 30, 31. They are a parent, right? The Warriors, you have Jonathan Kuminga still. You have Andrew Wiggins is 29. He's not 30 yet. You have pieces here to still build around post Stephen Curry to be excited about. Why are you trying to move off of them for a 50-year-old Jimmy Butler? Now, if you have a reason why, I want to hear from the callers here, 888-957-9570. Do you disagree with Joe Shasky? Do you disagree that, you know what? No, Jonathan Kuminga is not the guy to be building around. I want to hear from you too. Or if you agree with Shasky, same thing. 888-957-9570 is the number.
I want to hit people with like the reality check. Don't just box score watch. Watch the games. All right? Does Kuminga make a lot of mistakes? Yeah. He's a young ascending player who's going to make mistakes. Why is our tolerance level at zero for this young man? We need to be more tolerant of his mistakes. Draymond's making mistakes left and right. Now, he does winning plays as well, and so does Kuminga. Kuminga has made a lot of winning plays, and this isn't about a 30-point game in the loss on Friday night. This is about what I've been watching for a month, okay? Now, a month doesn't make you a great basketball player, but we can see where this is going. Steph Curry, since the calendar has turned to December, how many 30-point games does Steph have?
Oh, man, that's a game show music. One?
Three.
Wow.
How many does Jonathan Kuminga have since December 1st?
Four?
Three.
Wow.
Number three.
Is points everything? No. But this guy gets to the free throw line, which they failed to do since Durant left. This is a guy.
12 attempts on Saturday.
What?
12 attempts for him at the line.
He's dynamic.
More than the entire team combined.
The reality that Warrior fans need to come to grips with is this team is not a contender. And that's okay. You can still have a lot of fun.
Not a championship contender. They can make a playoff. They can absolutely make it. They might win a series potentially.
But
they
could. Not trading Jonathan Kuminga for Jimmy Butler, Cam Johnson, for some fake attempt at a title that's never going to be realized because the team is not good enough. A team built around a bunch of 36-year-olds is not getting out of the box. All right? Now, I'm not saying that you'll ever win a championship with Jonathan Kuminga, but as an organization, this is the young player that you need to be empowering to hand the baton to, not this year, but down the line, not trading him away. Why are we so quick to crush this guy? And then he has a great game with Steph and Draymond on the floor, and he's the guy who closed that game out.
Well, that's what's...
He's the guy.
That's the one that's most encouraging for me, Joe Shasky, because it's one thing to do it and have a 30-burger on... going back to In-N-Out, a 30-burger on Friday... against the Los Angeles Clippers when you don't have Steph and you don't have Dre. It's like, okay, you're the guy. But when those two come back and those two need their touches and Draymond Green needs the ball in his hands and Stephen Curry needs to get up 22 shots and only going 9 from 22, 4 of 13 from beyond the arc, like to have that performance off the bench and not bat an eye, it does feel like he's turned a corner both in his maturity on and off the court. So much so that the head coach, Steve Kerr, has taken notice.
I just think he's turning a corner. I just think he's, he's seeing the pictures well. He made a play late in the game where he swung the ball to Draymond, immediately pinned in for Steph, and Steph got a three. He didn't make it, but that's the play where you have to recognize Steph's your teammate. You know, you see he's cutting through the lane, swing the ball, and go set a screen for him. And those are the type of plays that if he makes, you know, and he's doing what he's doing, getting downhill, getting fouled, getting to the rim. Now the mix, the blend of Steph, Draymond, JK, now it starts to really get powerful. And I'm just, I'm so impressed with JK. It just feels like he's turning a corner, and he played so hard last night and again tonight. The rebound at the end just before he got fouled, he came out of nowhere along the baseline to make that play. I think he had about 7 boards in the second half. He was fantastic, man. This is exactly what we're looking for, and it's fun to see him, you know, deliver.
And that was Steve Kerr, obviously, after the Golden State Warriors 109-105 victory over the Phoenix Suns on Saturday to improve to 16-15 on the year, 8-7 at home. And you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Lomas Brown, Detroit Lions radio color analyst, joining us at 9:20. Obviously, the Warriors back in action tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We got a lot to get into when it comes to Bay Area sports right now. Corbin Burns spurned the Giants, potentially going to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So much we're getting into. But right now, the focus is on Jonathan Kuminga, the future of the Golden State Warriors. Joe Shasky, we got Oreo Cookie and Robin Sambruno on the line. Real quick, to you guys, your thoughts on that, Joe Shasky. Kuminga's turning a corner, and the fact that Steve Kerr is saying it, that's significant, because it feels like if I'm someone on the outside looking in, or even if I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, it felt like constantly Kuminga was just always doing it. In Steve Kerr's eyes, it wasn't enough. It's him, whether it's Moses Moody, whether it's sometimes it's Brandon Pajemski, like the young guys could never do enough in Steve Kerr's eyes is how it felt.
And to the fans.
And to the fans.
The fans were spoiled. And the tolerance level for young players was out of control. And look, I'm raising my hand. I have been guilty of this as well. But like, let me do the exercise. Since the 2012 draft, when I felt like Warrior fans were just so excited, Harrison Barnes, Festus, Draymond Green, and Kuzmic, a different Kuzmic, okay? This is who they've drafted: Kevon Looney, Damian Jones, Jacob Evans, Pascal, Jordan Poole. Now, Jordan Poole has an argument as the best draft pick. Mm. Just Jessup, Nico Mannion, James Wiseman, Moses Moody, Kuminga, Guy Santos, Patrick Baldwin, Brandon Pajemski, and Quentin Post. Mm. Outside of Jordan Poole, It is head and shoulders. Jonathan Kuminga is your draft, best draft pick. And I love Kevon Looney. He has been a really good player. He's a role player. Like, he's not going to be a frontline player. He's a role player. I love him. I think he brings a lot to the table. They're, like, this is the best draft pick in 12 years, potentially. And people just want to kick him at every single turn and never want to empower him. I'm tired of it. I am done, like, questioning him. And there's a whole Draymond aspect to this and the positions and all that. We'll get to it. But let's get to the callers. We need to be – this is the guy we should be handing the baton to down the line, not trying to trade away in the trade machine.
Oreo Cookie out in Oakland wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. You can hit us up via call or text, the Comcast Biz text line. What's going on, Oreo? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky on the Morning Roast.
Hey, what it do? Yeah, man, you guys are right. Chasky, you're totally right. Kuminga has finally come into his own. It sucks that he had to go through the media to finally get some playing time, but I think that's what it is. It was just he had to get consistent, and he had to be on the floor. Having said that, Curry and Kuminga are the only two that I would not trade. Number one on my list is the champion of change, and I don't see him changing. He's going back to the old him. His body language to me is weird. It sucks to me, man. He complains about every single call. Give me a break, man. That's going to go down to the youngsters. That's setting a very bad example. He's been doing this so much. Number one on my list to get out of here is that dark cloud that keeps hanging over us. With him gone, I think we'd have a better coach.
You're talking about Draymond Green. Well, there's a whole Draymond element to me when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga. Draymond at the beginning of the year was trying to force Kuminga to the three because he knew that if Jonathan Kuminga plays the three, then Draymond conceivably is playing the four. And then he can have TJD at the five. Trey, I'm sorry. The best version of the Warriors, you're the five. It sucks. Yes, you can't be a 30-minute a night guy. You're not, though. That's your body's already breaking down. Draymond is a 19 to 23 a minute a night guy at the five.
At the five.
At the five. Kuminga's your four. Look at the spacing. And when you have TJD on the floor with Kuminga, your spacing isn't as good because Draymond wants to handle the ball at the top of the key. He's kind of like a point center, point forward, which is fine. But like Draymond needs to acknowledge this is him suffocating Kuminga is why this team has failed to take the leap forward and why Kuminga hasn't. You can even play the sound from the beginning of the year.
I will. This is from October 3rd of this year on why Draymond Green does not think Kuminga can play the power forward position.
I think he's a three. It's always been my opinion. That's going to change. That's not going to change, I think. You know, to play the four, it requires a certain skill set. You know, so oftentimes, people approach the four as if it's not a position. You think like, oh, I can just move a guy there. So it's a position that you have to know how to play. It's like, you know, you never hear... You don't think anybody can play point guard. The four is the same thing, you know? It requires a certain skill set, a certain knowledge, a certain understanding of that position to do that. He's never done it. Can he adjust and learn that? I don't know. Can a receiver learn how to be a quarterback in 2 years? So, you know.
I think that analogy is completely different to me. Like, don't even compare playing receiver to playing a quarterback. It's just not even close to being a three or a four. Jonathan Kuminga is 22 years old, and the guy has so much raw talent in his little finger compared to a guy like, I'm not going to say, Draymond, listen, the physical attributes of a Jonathan Kuminga, yeah, if I'm a Draymond Green, it might be hard to switch that at times, but I'm not putting any limits on what Jonathan Kuminga can and can't do at this point. He's shown to be, at times, your best player this season.
But this is, again, it's a self-serving comment at the beginning of the season by Draymond, which I get. I get his point of view. And to be fair, Trayce Jackson-Davis has played great basketball the last week.
Yeah.
The best basketball, I would say, of his career. But, like, to me, their best version, and I'm talking about the close games, okay, is, yeah, Dre, you're the five, dog, and Kuminga's the four. And that's what it is. To me that the David Lee thing, where Draymond replaced David Lee and David Lee became kind of marginalized and had to accept his fate, that's kind of what's happening to Draymond. It's funny how the league works like that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Joe. You're on fire. Your closing lineup ideally is what?
Wiggins at the three, Kuminga at the four, Dre at the five, I got Curry at the one, and then that two oscillates between Schroeder, you know, Buddy Hield. Mm. I think there's maybe it's GP2 depending on defensive subs. I think that that two spot, because that's their biggest hole right now.
It is.
But the two spot is kind of up for grabs.
The inconsistency there right now, and Dennis Schroeder got.
Hey, look, he had a big three the other night.
He had a big great. I just the totality of what I've gotten from him right now is tough.
They needed a win, though.
Yes, they did, and I'll give him this because we had Anthony Slater join us. What was that? Thursday? We had Slater. You were here.
Thursday.
Thank you. Our 95.7 The Game Warriors Insider and covers the team for Athletic. We love Slates. He was saying, give it some time. And Schroeder talked about this to an extent too. And we'll get back to the Kaminga conversation in a second. Robin Sambruno, we'll get to you here.
Can't wait to hear what he says.
But he's saying, listen, I had to adjust to LeBron. It took some time. And when he did adjust to LeBron, we saw it with the Lakers in that series against the Warriors a couple seasons ago. He was a difference maker. He was hounding Steph Curry. He was hitting big shots. He was getting to the lane. He was being a distributor of the ball to LeBron, to Anthony Davis. He was huge in that series. So I'm going to give Schroeder some time to adjust. It's hard, whether it's a LeBron, whether it's a Steph. Specifically in this system where it's so damn unique and so damn Steph-centric, trying to find that balance is tough for a guy like Schroeder whose game is predicated on having the ball in his hands.
Right now, the second best player on the Warriors has been Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
Wiggins, the third.
Right? Wiggins at times, I will say, because Wiggins has been playing well. He did not have a good game on Saturday against the
shooting
But he did
a lot of little things.
But he did a lot of little things. And defensively, he is always there. And I know his IQ is always going to be there week in and week out.
And you know what the Warriors did in the entire second half, which I was like, finally, they're like, we're going to put Plumlee out on Kuminga? Get out of the way and let Kuminga go to work.
Yeah, cook.
Like, that's the modern NBA. At times, you do have to isolate the mismatch.
Absolutely. Rob, Sambruno. What's going on, Rob? You're on with Spadoni and Chesky. How you doing, man? You have a good Christmas?
I'm doing good. How about a great Christmas? How about yourself?
Oh, yeah. Man, doing so good.
That's right. Well, look, the last two games, I watched the last two word games. I wasn't doing nothing at the house, so all I did was watch sports. Look, man. It's time for Steph. It's time for Dre to take a step back. All right? It's been proven. I mean, Kuminga can do everything. I watched him. It's like he was getting to the free throw line with no effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we are passing the ball, all this passing, causing turnovers. No, sometimes you got to get the ball to your best player and let him get to the hoop. And that's exactly what he did. He got to the hoop. He the last two games, and he coming off the bench, which is an insult to me, and he's still giving you 30. And it's not a hard 30. He getting to the line. He getting to his spots. In a league to where it's a small ball area, to where usually the big five men back in the day is a four man or a three man. It's small. You got no rim protection. If you got a guy who can get to the hoop at will, and you don't have a guy who can, you're not playing teams that can protect the paint. Outside of Gobert, I mean, you know, Jokic ain't protecting the paint.
Mm-mm.
Nobody, you know what I'm saying? Outside of Anthony Davis and Gobert, nobody in the league protecting the paint like that, or Jared Allen and Cleveland. So. And my thing is like this. It's time for Steph to realize, look, you're not that guy no more, pal. And that's fine. Jared Jack had to realize that. Monte had to realize that. It's your turn, Steph. Steph, it's Kuminga's turn now. Steph, if you're a great player, you adjust how you play. Dwayne Wade had to adjust for LeBron James. Kareem had to adjust for Magic. So at the end of the day, it's up to the Warriors fans and Steve Kerr to realize, look, it was fun with Curry. Curry can still be that guy, but he needs to be a number two and find ways to work around Kuminga. Same with Draymond Green. Kuminga is the stud right now. You can't convince me to trade him for anybody else. You're not going to find a better player than he is.
I totally agree.
Thank you, Rob.
Any trade scenario where you've got Jonathan Green, you're giving up the better player in long term to me. And I look at this, and he brought up something that the NBA, the regular season. Now, we're not talking about playoffs. The regular season. Who can go every night?
Mm-hmm.
And I just look at our old bodies. I don't know who can go every night.
That's a good point. 888-957-9570. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back. Is Jonathan Kuminga, is Kuminga untradeable at this point? Joe Chasky seems to think so. I'll give my thoughts on the other side. 888-957-9570. And that's what's coming up on The Game, sponsored by Save Mart and Lucky California.